Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney. All about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open early this Saturday morning. If you have a legal question, hey, I would love to help you. I get up on Saturday mornings to help you. And all you have to do is to call this toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. As I said, I love getting up Saturday morning to come in to help you. I've done this for 35 years now, longest running continual program in Florida. And it's all about just helping people. As you'll notice during the show, there are no commercials. There's a 52-minute straight run. I don't do shows that have commercials on there, so they stack those at the end of the program, whatever they have to do. Nothing regarding me, but I'm here to help. 877-943-9673. Hey, we're streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on WeBeamTV.com. So if you want to watch the show as I'm here in the studio, I used to tease people that have a face for radio, but now we're also streaming on TV. Our Facebook pages, I have a personal page, just Joseph Pippin. We have a Law Offices of Joseph Pippin, and we have an Ask an Attorney page. And again, we are streaming live. Let's go to Matt in Newport Richey. Good morning, Matt.
Page.
Again, all right, Matt, you need to cut your radio off, please.
Okay.
There it's you off. Go. I was hearing myself talk there for a minute. We have a 5-second delay. But go ahead.
Yeah, I understand.
What can I do for you?
Oh, is this Mr. Pippin?
It is. You're live.
Oh, okay. Very good. I have a question. I set up a joint revocable living trust some years ago with my wife, and my wife is deceased about a year ago, and she had an IRA. She made the trust the beneficiary of the IRA. The bank will not release it unless I get a tax ID number. And, you know, a whole reason for doing the joint revocable living trust is be to make transfers after death simple and easy. But this is going to require, if I do it, a tax ID, then I've got to fill out another tax form when I do my taxes. And it just sounds like kind of complicated.
Well, I think the bank might be in error there because the trust, as long as you're living, uses your Social Security number.
Okay, even though my wife passed away.
Yes. Now, okay. by the way, it was a mistake. I'm very sorry for your loss. It was a mistake, though, to name the trust as beneficiary. The beneficiary should have been you first. And then it should have been the other beneficiaries. And when a trust, when an IRA hits trust, all the taxes are due at once.
Okay, even though it's a pass-through trust?
It's a pass-through trust. So you said a joint trust, though.
Yeah, it's a joint trust. I've been using my Social Security number mostly. But, of course, with the IRA, it was under her Social.
Yeah, but you're the total owner of the trust now because she died, right?
Yes, correct.
So the beneficiary should have just been you because the trust is not a person. It doesn't matter now. It's water under the dam. But, you know, because the bank should accept your Social Security number as the tax number for the trust, is my opinion.
Okay. And they have talked with the back office, and they swear that's what I need. Is there any way I can have them reference something or...
Well, do they have, they talk to the legal team for the bank?
Yeah, correct, yes.
Well, yes, ask them. Ask them if they would take a statement from me, since I created the trust, that the trust does not need a tax number because it was a joint trust with you being the sole survivor, and the trust is still using your Social Security number. Ask them if they would accept a legal opinion on my behalf as the creator of the trust, if they would do that, and we'll go from there.
Well, actually, I had it done by another attorney who has passed away now. So, I mean,
I thought you said I had created your trust. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, Matt, I need to see if I was going to help you, I would need to see the trust.
Okay.
It depends on if it was an AB trust. It split into two parts upon her death, and now the trust beneficiary is her half of the trust, which is irrevocable. Then that would be true.
Yeah, no, it wasn't an AB trust because we don't have that much money that we need that. So
I'd be glad to look at it, and I would be glad to chime in if necessary to get you where you want to go.
Okay.
I think it'd be unusual to have the trust have a new tax number because I think they're trying to say the trust now is a new entity, which it's not, if it's a regular joint with survivorship trust. But again, I need to see the trust. I mean, I need to see what where they're coming from in their decision.
Just call your office and make an appointment.
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you, Mr.
All right, thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. You have a toll-free number to call the show. We have one line open now. Line's filled up pretty quick this morning. 877-943-9673. Let's go to Linda in Lakeland.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Linda, how are you?
Great. I have a son who is autistic and bipolar. He's 35 now, and he's gotten a little bit more manic, and his house is not taken care of properly, and neither is himself. So my question is, how difficult is it to go to court, take his rights away, and have him put in an assisted living home for his safety as well as maybe his roommate?
Yeah, once a person unfortunately becomes, in this case, a danger to themselves, if he could give you a power of attorney and listen to you and do what you tell him, that would be great. But if he's going to not do that and he's a danger to himself, then your choice is to have him declared incompetent, basically, to manage himself and get the court to appoint you as the guardian. I could probably find a guardianship attorney for you in the Lakeland area and for you to talk to about the cost and getting that set up and so forth. We have a family law guardianship attorney, but she doesn't come to Polk County. She does mainly Pinellas and Hillsborough County.
I do not mind driving because it's only getting worse and worse, and I'm getting older and older, and I don't know what's going to happen.
No, but all this would take place. He lives in Polk County, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it'd be the Polk County Court there in Bartow, and she doesn't go to Bartow. I mean, that's the problem. So I'd have to find you a local guardianship attorney to handle that.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation. Very, very difficult.
Yeah, I know. Wish I could help you more, but that's the route you got to go.
Well, I appreciate you so much. You did tell me more than I knew that I had to look for a guardianship attorney.
Yeah, and if you have trouble finding one, I'd be glad to help you find one.
All right. I appreciate you, sir. Thank you
all
very
right.
much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We have an office in Lakeland. In fact, I was just there yesterday afternoon, and we have several offices in Polk. And we don't charge anything for the first appointment to talk about things like that and give advice. When I go to those counties, my primary practice in those counties is estate planning. And the wills, trust, probate, guardianship. The guardianship, though, we don't have an active attorney practicing guardianship in Polk. All right, let's go to Doris in Bradenton. Hey, Doris.
Hey, hello.
How are you?
I have to move away from the radio here with me a minute. There we go. My question is, in the state of Florida, is it possible to sue a municipality if a, oh, a sewer line breaks and damages your home. Who?
Basically can sue anyone. How far you can get with a case like that would depend upon the facts of each case. If they have a broken sewer line that caused you damage, there might be some recovery, but in most types of lawsuits against the city and so forth, there would be caps. And they're usually more difficult to prove liability on the city part in a lot of cases. But the answer to your question is, can you sue? Yes. Finding an attorney the best thing to do is sit down with an attorney that's filed a few of those cases before and have he or she take a look to see what the probability of your success would be in a case, depending on the facts of the case.
Okay. So a developer would be the same thing. A developer, you could. If the developer put the... Would the case be against the developer or the municipality? Once the development is completed and it's turned over to a municipality?
That's too broad of a question to answer in a 2 or 3 minute conversation on the radio. It's just going to depend on the facts of the case.
So I would need which type of lawyer would I need to pursue this?
You would need a litigation attorney. You need a trial litigation type of attorney. Most of those cases would probably be, they have attorneys in the larger law firms.
Mm-hmm.
If you need help finding one, I could probably try to help you find one.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks so much for the work you do.
All right. My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Nancy in Sun City Center. Hey, Nancy.
Yes. Hello. I recently moved my parents to an assisted living facility in Sun City Center.
Mm-hmm.
I have a power of attorney that you have drawn up for me. Their condo, however, is in a trust, and they want me to sell the condo. Can I use the regular power of attorney to sell the condo, or do I need...
Okay, who is they want you to sell the condo?
My parents.
Oh, your parents want you to sell the condo.
Yes.
And are you the first successor trustee in the trust?
They have each other as their first successor.
All right. Well, you would have the power to sell it if you were the trustee, which means they would both have to resign. As long as they're able to do it themselves, I mean, you could help them, but they would be the one signing the deed on the sale.
Otherwise they have to resign.
Get a special power of attorney from
the
sale of that real estate.
I'm hearing your husband talk to you in the background there. So the trust controls what's in the trust, and the trustees make the decisions and take the actions in the trust. So if they want you to handle everything, then maybe they should resign and make you be the trustee. The power of attorney is not going to work with an asset in the trust like that.
Okay.
Now, we could take, it's likely, has the deed to the property in the trust been recorded?
Yes.
Well, if they want you to do it, I mean, they could meet with me and I could take it out of the trust and put it back in their names, and then you could use your power of attorney.
Okay. Is that something that can be done, like, just when we can come
into why? Real estate deals can be... Are you going to have a realtor?
Yes.
So you could tell the realtor to send the contracts to you for your review, and or have an attorney review the contracts, and then your parents could just sign it. There could be a middleman in there to you, or you and an attorney, to just help guide your parents through the sale.
Okay.
You can certainly review all the contracts before they sign anything.
Okay.
Or they can resign as trustee. I think those would be your two. You choose one of those.
Well, that would be from the complete trust. You can't do something special just for that piece of real estate that's in the trust.
Well, no, I'm saying the trustees control what's in the trust. The power of attorney is designed to handle all matters outside of the trust. Could them could they each sign a power of attorney as a trustee to authorize it? Maybe yes, but I just envision problems with the title company on the closing. I think you're just creating a more difficult path for everyone to accept by what they want to do, when the easy answer is they could resign as trustee, or they could just deed the property back to themselves and let the power of attorney go into effect.
Okay.
Nancy, do you live local, though?
Sun City Center, yes.
And your parents live in Sun City Center?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, the easy thing to do in this case is just have them tell the realtor to have you review all of the contracts, and then when the time comes, the parents just sign the contract. They're the trustees.
Okay.
Seems like everybody's trying to make this far more difficult than it is.
It's a little bit of a problem because they don't really want to sell it, but they need to sell it in order to afford the assisted living facility we've moved them to.
So they want to give you a power of attorney to do something they don't want to do.
Well, not really. Her father asked us to handle it directly.
Well,
her mother has some
resistance. You can handle it by reviewing the contract, get them to sign the listing agreement. You don't want to have them, you take over, and then they flip on the decision because they can revoke the power of attorney at any time. So you don't want to have one of them get upset and then say, well, I'm not going to sell. And even though they give you a power of attorney to revoke, that could be revoked any time. And then what happens if you have a power of attorney to sell, you go through all the motions, and one of them says, well, I don't want to sell. I'm revoking the power of attorney. I would put the burden squarely on them to review the contract, and they sign the contract when the time comes when you find a buyer.
Okay, we'll try that first.
We have an appointment with you on Wednesday. I guess cancel that then if you can't help us at this point.
Well, I'd certainly be glad to meet with you and discuss it a little further.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. If you have a legal decision, if you have a legal question, give me a call, 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and be glad to take your call and help you. It got up this morning just to help you, so give me a call, 877-943-9673. Let's go to Karen in Jacksonville.
Hi, my 68-year-old disabled sister recently went into a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And they get her Social Security and her SSI.
Mm-hmm.
And she is one of three sisters who own a home as joint tenants with rights of survivorship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's the only one living there and has homestead for many years. And I've been paying the taxes and insurance on it. And I was wondering, can we sell the house, and would the state take the money since she's got that Medicaid and SSI right now and Social Security going to the nursing home?
All right, she's already on Medicaid?
Yeah, she's been on it pretty much most of her life since she was like in her 20s.
Well, the answer is the homestead's exempt from the Medicaid calculation. So she can get on Medicaid, still have a home. So if she sells the home, she's now going to have cash. Is she a third? But the cash, does she have a power of attorney to you?
Yes, I have her power of attorney.
All right, so I would have to see the power of attorney. Do you know, you probably don't know offhand whether the power of attorney authorizes you to create a personal service contract?
Well, I've already done it, and I did that with you.
Oh, okay. Well, the power of attorney, I'm sure, has that provision. So, yeah, what you should probably do is to meet with me there in Jacksonville. Well, I'll be there this weekend. And we can look at getting a personal service contract created. And then you could deposit the money into the personal service contract account, and she could still stay on Medicaid.
Now, what happens to this personal service money when she passes away?
The personal service contract, the money would be yours.
How okay, much, so they
did you say
not,
she was a joint tenant with right of survivorship?
It's joint tenant, and it's the last living person to actually inherit the home.
Okay.
And but my issue is I don't know if we're going to be able to carry it. You know,
all, you know, she may live to, she may outlive all of us.
Well, I think, you know, we can, no, she's on Medicaid, though.
True.
So Medicaid will take care of her expenses. What you want to do is just to keep the Medicaid benefit, which I think we can do by creating the personal service contract.
Now, would the personal service contract only be in that power of attorney?
It gives you the power to create one.
Okay, that gives me a power of attorney?
The power of attorney gives you the power to create what's called a personal service contract, and that's still an exempt asset. That doesn't disqualify her for receiving her Medicaid benefits.
Well, you know, she is over 65 with that Medicare
That's not going to make any difference.
So it's mainly keeping the Medicaid?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, well, I guess that's my answer. I appreciate your help, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you, bye.
We're halfway through the show. If you have a legal question, I'd be more than glad to help you. You have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And your question actually helps other people who are listening. So we're glad to be of service to you and anyone else listening that could learn and benefit and get moving in the right direction. So again, phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. Let's go to Bertha in Tampa.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a couple of questions. My husband is 62 and disabled. When he turns 65, will he continue to be on disability? And he's overweight, and I was wondering who I can call to assist us so that they could come. Do I call Social Security?
Okay, he's at home with you?
Yes.
Yeah, well, yes, he'll be able to continue to receive the Medicare benefits. Mm-hmm. If he ever goes into a nursing home, you probably should have an updated power of attorney that has what I was talking about with our previous caller, which is the power to create personal service contracts and to move things around to maybe possibly get on Medicaid. But you might need an appointment on the phone with Social Security to have them rehash your account and Social Security number and what you're entitled to.
Okay. So call Social Security to see if someone can come and assist. He's pretty heavy, so I need someone to come and assist, you know, dressing and all that stuff, and I was just wondering if that could be done.
You know, I have a home care person that can come visit with you and maybe assess what you're entitled to. Would his doctor sign a statement that he needs some home care and home assistance?
Okay.
So if you want to call me, I'll help get that set up for you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
For taking time to answer this question.
Okay,
appreciate
no problem.
It.
Thank you. All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, we have... we're about halfway through the show, so show ends at 8:52, and we're at 8:26. So if you have a question, you have 26 more minutes to call in, 877-943-9673. Oh, I wanted to mention, I am speaking at Indian Rocks Baptist Church this coming Wednesday night, 6:30, open to the public. If you'd like to come, Indian Baptist Church there, Indian Rocks Baptist Church is right on Walsingham. And if you'd like to come, it's open to the public. We always have a nice sized group there. I'll be talking about estate planning, being a good steward of your assets, be talking about planned giving some. Just attended a little conference from the National Christian Foundation. And picked up a couple of great ideas and talking about things, and their whole focus on was generosity. But anyway, I'm speaking at Indian Rocks Baptist Church this coming Wednesday night at 6:30. Really looking forward to that. I was a member of Indian Rocks Baptist Church for 25 years. Still have a great relationship with the church. We are members of Idlewild Baptist Church presently. I get to speak at a lot of churches along the way. Several of the stations we broadcast on, 570-910 Faith Talk, 90.3 FM, coming out of Haines City, is owned by Lamnark Baptist Church. That's a Christian. That's actually a gospel radio station. And they've carried my program, Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law now for probably over 20 years, helped them every year with the telethon. So anyway, if you would love to come to a seminar, this is an open seminar, Indian Rocks Baptist Church, 6:30 this coming Wednesday night. Let's go to Sam in Polk County. Hey, Sam.
Hello. Hey, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. What can I do for you?
Yes, I was trying to get some information that gave me kind of suggestion on what to do as far as being a commercial driver and interested in getting my medical marijuana card. How would those collaborate? Restrictions and...
All right. Do you think there's a restriction to get your commercial driver's license if you have a Medicaid card?
No, not a Medicaid card.
I mean a marijuana card, I meant.
All right. I was trying to see if those would collaborate with two. Can you have one with the other, or, you know, the pros and the cons of it?
No, I don't think. Now, I might be wrong because I haven't looked that up lately, and I've never had a client matter with that question or concern. I don't believe the same question comes up, which we've talked about a few times on the show. Can you use marijuana, have a marijuana card, and have a concealed weapons permit? I mean, it's the same type of question. Would having a medical marijuana card interfere with, you know, getting a commercial driver's license or having a concealed weapons? And the answer is probably not, I believe, is the answer we've come up with. But, you know, are you taking the commercial driver's test or class?
On the fence of what I want to do, because I'm trying to cover all tracks before I even head in any direction. Rather than getting my CDLs or getting the card or, you know, doing both. Because I also have my CCWs as well.
Yeah.
That's also,
all right.
You know, a concern.
All right, so let's say for a minute you're going to choose to get a commercial driver's license. And so you plan on going to a school, right?
Right.
Okay. So what I would do is when you're inquiring to the school about what school you want to go to and checking that, you can ask the school itself, who teaches the course, who's going to give you a test, everything to pass, whether or not that would be a concern and how to deal with that issue. So I would put, you're checking around and you're going to check out schools to go to help you get this license, ask them that question. Because my answer is I think you can have both. I think you can have both. Okay?
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's go to Chris in Jacksonville. Hey, Chris.
How you doing?
Good. What can I do for you, sir?
Well, my question is I would like some legal advice, maybe if you can, like, maybe help steer me in the right direction or give me some sort of assistance with this issue I'm having.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my issue has to do with my son and his mother. I'm having a lot of difficulties.
How old is your son?
My son, he's 10 years old now.
Okay. And are you divorced?
No, we were never married.
Never married, okay. All right, go ahead.
And I'm having a lot of issues with communicating with my son, and being able to have time with him. Now, we do have a court order in effect that allows me to see him and her to see Junior. But as far as he goes, I send gifts to him during his birthday and on holidays, and they get returned. She still lives there, but she refused to accept any gifts for him.
And according to a mutual friend between me and her, she's telling my son that I do not want to have any relationships with him. So she lives actually in Westchester, New York. So I'm actually trying to figure out what would be the best way I can go about doing it, considering she's violating a court order.
Well, where is the court order, in New York or Florida?
The court order is actually in Stamford, Connecticut, where we used to live.
And how often do you see your son?
I see my son, well, actually, I'm a truck driver, so I don't get much time off. But I see him every chance I get, usually once a month, maybe once every 2 months.
All right. Well, see, that's a tough question because what do you and your son talk about? What do you try to do for him? And do you ask him, did you receive the gift I sent you? And he says, no, I didn't get anything. And mom says, you don't like me. Is that the way the conversation goes?
We used to talk about that. Recently, the communications have stopped. Last communication we had, I actually bought a piece of property and told my son that I would be leaving it to him. And one thing led to another, and she has been refusing my phone calls, so we haven't been able to talk for at least 2 months now.
Well, I think you need to have an attorney go in and tell the judge what's going on and see if we can't hold the wife in contempt or something. You have the judge take some action to make sure you are enjoying the rights that you're entitled to with your son.
All right. Would you be able to point me in the direction of a lawyer that can assist me in this?
Yeah, if you want to call me, I'll give you, there's a website I use to find attorneys in areas that I don't have a friend or a contact. And this website, you call me and I'll talk to you a little bit about it and give you the website. And then you should be able to get a list of attorneys and you can just call a couple of them to see which one you connect with.
Okay.
All right.
What's the phone number to call you?
All right, so you're calling from Jacksonville. So I'll give you the 800 number. It's 800-226-3529.
Okay, thank you.
That's 1-800-226-3529.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. That's me, Attorney Joe Pippin. Glad to be here. Phone lines are open now. So if you have a legal question or something you'd like to talk about in the legal world, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. In fact, right now, here comes a call. But again, if you'd like to call, 877-943-9673. If you'd like to receive our estate planning poster sheet. Now, this is a large sheet, double-sided. One side has 5 articles about estate planning, different aspects of estate planning, understanding your choices, understanding the differences, little diagrams explaining things, charts explaining like cost of probate. On the other side has all of our office contacts around Florida, office locations, phone numbers, attorneys, website, fee schedule. There's a little tab on our website with a fee schedule. And if you would like it, information about the radio shows we do and the areas we're located in. If you'd like it, it's free. I'd love to mail it to you. You can look at it online, but it's a double-sided sheet. You wouldn't want to print it out. It's too large, basically, and you burn a lot of ink. You probably couldn't get it all on one page. We'd love to mail it to you, and you can receive it one of 3 ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200. You can email me a request for it. I need your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P. com. That's Joe at attypip.com. You can text me for it. You can text me your name and address at 727 667 3967. Again, we don't charge for first appointments. I personally have 20 offices in various places around the state. The ones that I personally go to are Jacksonville, Largo, Sun City Center, Lakeland, and Davenport. So I go to Jacksonville every other week, and those other offices I'm in at least once a week. If you'd like, again, to contact our office, it's 1-800-226-3529. Let's go to Joe in Tampa.
Hey there. Boy, that poor guy, that last caller. My friend, just go to court, file a motion to incarcerate the mother. Jeez. Hey, I got a question on Social Security.
Okay.
Is there a minimum amount of Social Security that each person at age 62 is entitled to?
You can go.
Oh, hang on.
Well, there is a minimum amount, yeah, but it's based on factors. I think most of the minimum numbers I've seen are in the $800 a month category. But it's based on your work history, 10 calendars of employment. It's based on some factors. You could go on socialsecurity.com or just Google Social Security. There are lots of websites that explain what you're entitled to. Are you there? It looks like we lost Joe. Call back. I'd love to talk to you more if you need more information. Let's go to David. David in Largo. Hey, David.
I have a quick question. Florida Statute 92.525. It's sort of a like you can not necessarily notarize your own signature on a court document or something. What I'm trying to figure out is what extent. I mean, does that statute give you as far as notarizing your signature or somebody else's?
What's the statute number?
92.525.
All right, so
now, I know you can, like, go ahead.
Yeah, you can't notarize your own signature.
Well, I mean,
in fact,
like
a notary can't even notarize a family member's signature. So, I mean, I'd have to read the statute to see where you're coming from in your question.
Yeah.
But basically, you know, I'm a notary, so I notarize stuff every day almost.
Right.
And I know that I can't.
I mean, 'cause that statute, if you read it, it's kind of confusing. I mean, to what extent it allows you. It doesn't necessarily use the word notary in it, but, I mean, it allows you to sign, like, an affidavit. You know, that you're the one, you know, that made the statement on the affidavit. And I was just kind of curious, you know, how far it actually lets you go as far as somebody accepting your signature on something you would need to submit that would be, it may call for a notary to notarize your signature.
Well, I think the person, let's talk about a bank for a second.
Okay.
So a bank is going to have certain requirements and certain financial concerns, like we deal with Vanguard and Fidelity and all these places. Often when I'm trying to get something done for a client, I have to have a medallion stamp. So I think the financial concerns have their own rules and regulations and what they accept and don't accept. So certain things require a medallion stamp, which only a commercial bank can provide, or at least that's my experience. That's where I go when I need a medallion stamp. I go in and provide the information that they require. They have a list of things they require, and I do a medallion stamp. Some things can be notarized. Some things can be signed by an attorney. So almost every document you need that has some requirements like that have their own requirements, which you have to comply with their requirements if you want to get anything done. You can fight with them, but, you know, it's easier just to, a lot of times, to comply with their requirements.
Yes. Yeah, I was just trying to see the extent of that, because, I mean, it seems to be the word they use, their verbiage is like evidenced. You know, it seems, they don't, like I said, that's why I was just wondering. But if you read through the whole statute, it kind of seems like it gives you some authority as a notary almost.
No,
and I mean, it's gone back to the Supreme Court and everything else.
I'm guessing you're misreading that, but I'm not going to know until I read
that's
it.
That's why I'm calling you.
Yeah.
So.
Do you have
All right, I didn't know. Like I said, I know you got stuff to do on the radio, but if you could, I mean, if you get a chance to read through that whole thing,
do you need something that needs to be signed or created?
Well, no, I just have my curiosity, you know, because like I said, if I read it, like I said, I may be being misled, and I was just worried what I was just wondering what the extent.
Well,
what that
how did you choose that statute to read?
Well, I've done, you know, I do a lot of legal work. I was in prison for a while, so I've done a lot of legal work, you know, mostly 30s, 50s and stuff, and then I've done a lot of my own civil work. And it's came up to where I've had things that they've sent out to be notarized, but then I've been referred to that statute that, like, you could sign something that doesn't need to be notarized, especially something going to the courts. It would be above your signature.
Okay.
And that's how I came across it.
All right, sir. I'll take a look at that statute. All right, thanks.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We have about 7-8 minutes left in the show. If you have a question, give us a call. Phone lines are open right now, so I've got time to take your call at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open and more than glad to help you. Again, I'd like to invite you to come to Indian Rocks Baptist Church this coming Wednesday night. 6:30 I'll be there for a presentation. And basically, half of the show will be comments about estate planning, good planning, being a good steward, charitable giving. So it'll be a discussion about all of those things. And then we open up, fun part of the program for me is always just answering legal questions. So the audience always has lots of legal questions, just like the radio show. And it's fun for me to be there trying to answer all these questions that people have about things and misconceptions get straightened out and so forth. It's would love to have you come. If you'd be a first-time visitor to the church, that would be great too. And again, it's if you need directions to the church, you can call my office at 586, is the local Pinellas County number, 586-3306. Go to extension 200, and they'll give you directions. But you can also find it, of course, it's Indian Rocks Baptist Church. It's a large church on Walsingham, which is an extension of Elmerton Road. As you round the bend there, headed toward the Gulf. Let's go to Ed in Tampa.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Was wondering the best way to hold rental property. I currently own some rental property in my name and have a number of liability policies against them to protect me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have associates that tell me I should move those over to a trust or a maybe put them in LLCs or things like that to further protect. So what are the recommended way to hold a rental property?
The most popular way to hold rental property for asset protection is probably an LLC. And how many rental properties do you own?
10.
So some people would create 10 LLCs, and some people would group them according to the equity they have. So, I mean, if you have five ones that are heavily mortgaged, you could put all those in one. If you have one that has no mortgage, you could maybe have its own LLC for that. And then you would also transfer the interest in the LLC to a trust. So you have a double layer there of things going on. The LLC is for the asset protection. The living trust is for the avoiding probate, avoiding guardianship, and things like that.
From a protection standpoint, as long as I have, I've got $1.5 million liability on each property, am I protecting myself adequately from a lawsuit or things like that?
Well, you're protecting yourself up to $1.5 million worth of lawsuits. Now, most, I would say a very large percentage of the time, that would be more than enough. And so you're just kind of, that's one way to do it. That creates a lot less paperwork to be heavily insured, you know, beyond the limits of any reasonable expectation you'd be sued. I mean, somebody could trip and fall on a sidewalk, or could be up in the attic doing something and fall through the attic because of a spot you should have known about that was damaged or things like that. But you usually don't have that much liability associated with a rental home of what they could sue you for. So, you know, normally I would think, and most, you know, 90-some percent of the time, that would be more than enough, and then you wouldn't have the headaches of all the extra paperwork of an LLC. So, Billy, it really just boils down to a choice. But either way, your property should be in a trust to, if you want to avoid probate, avoid guardianship.
Got it. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling. If you'd like more information about a trust, again, you can call our office and get that free poster sheet, 1-800-226-3529. He's in Tampa. Most people would call the 727-586-3306. Go to Extension 200 and get that poster sheet to learn about estate planning. Let's go to Greg in Jacksonville.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, Greg.
My question is about Social Security also. My wife wants to claim at 62 file, and I have to continue working for at least another 5 or 6 years. And now I file jointly. She does not currently work. So if she tries to file and I'm still working and filing, but I don't do a 1040 anymore, whatever that new form is, does my income impact or reduce her benefit because we're filing jointly?
No. No, they look at solely her income. Look solely. No, it's not going to increase. It's not going to decrease what she could get.
Okay. All right.
How old are you?
I'm 60. 61.
You're 61. Okay.
I had to think about it.
And she's 60. Yeah. She's going to be 62. Or she is 62.
She'll be 62 here shortly, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just working for the insurance mainly. I mean, it's not,
Yeah.
We can't get on Medicare for a while, and I have, it's not great, but it's decent,
No, I don't believe what you make is going to have any impact on what she can get now.
Okay. So. Is there any requirement for me to be involved in her filing? Or is it just something she does on her own? Or
she would do it on her own.
Do you have to sign anything? I'm sorry?
No, she would do it on her own.
Okay. All right.
Now, what I did, you might talk to a financial advisor, though, because there are some strategies about when sometimes you might wait till you get to 62 and then suspend your payments, and that sometimes that would allow her to get a little bit more. I'm not standing here today, I couldn't give you exactly how that works, but there are some experts out there that deal with when to claim your Social Security amount to maximize what you can get. And I think if I were you, I would talk to one of those type people. I could probably find you somebody there in Jacksonville if you want to have me look for one that I can connect you with. I do have offices there, and I come there, and I know some financial advisors that might be able to help you.
Well, I tell you what, there's a show that comes on later on another station, and that's all they talk about is finances. So I'll give them a ring, but if I don't get an answer, I'll call you back.
Are you talking about in Jacksonville? Are you talking about the Van Wees? The Van Wees show? Are you listening on 600?
No, it's the Smart Money, 104.7.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you're listening in Jacksonville and you're listening on WBOB.
I am right now. Yes.
Yeah, there's a real estate show coming after me there in Jacksonville, and then there's a financial planner show, too. And I do work with those folks some, so you can call there and see what they say and tell them I told you to call.
I'll do that.
I see them all the time, and I work with them some. So, yeah, okay. All right, Greg, thanks.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Thank you so much for listening. We're almost at the end of the show. And if you have a legal question, you have to save it for next time. And if you want to contact our office, it's 1-800-226-3529. We don't charge anything for that first appointment, and glad to be with you. If you want to come to Indian Rocks Baptist Church, that's in Pinellas County. For you listening all over the state, that's Pinellas County. Love to have you come. If you want to call, get the address for the church. If you don't know it, you can certainly call our office, 1-800-226-3529. Thanks so much for listening and maybe watching on WeBeam TV or Facebook. Thanks for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. Be back next week the same time.